ready, Steve?
Uh-huh.
Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome back. Today's Tuesday, 7th day of February, 2012. The Dow is up 31 points, the S&P is up 2, the comp is up 5. Quite a turnaround story this morning. Dr. Ben Bernanke was talking, and the markets began a bit of a rally right here, the opening of this hour of trading. And from 1336, we ran 7 points, right up to the weekly trading zone at 1343 over the next hour. So for this market, especially considering the lethargy that we saw during yesterday's session, normally I put in things like 7-point rally, but yesterday it was best defined as a 7-point crawl because it just slowly ground its way up to the weekly trading zone at 42.43. Now, the weekly trading zones, as you know, if you're a partner, you get those prior to the market at opening on Monday. And so what we've seen so far is we've seen a move from the zone to the zone to the zone to the zone. So we are captured inside of this trading range so far for the week. We anticipate at some point, or we at least hope to see, a breakout to the upside or the downside. Doesn't matter. We have zones overhead. That would be our next target. We have zones below us, which would be the next place we would look to go if we do make that break to the downside. Is there room to trade this inside of this range? Well, the answer is yes. We had a tweet to be long at 1333 on a pullback Sunday night, and that went from 33 to 42. So actually that was a 9-point crawl, but when I snapped the picture last night, it hadn't quite gotten all the way to the zone yet, and I'll show you what I mean. See, it was a 7-point crawl at that point, and then it managed to tack on another couple points, or another point, to get here, to get to 42.5, where it then reversed. And when I tweeted this out last night, I said, you know, this almost looks too easy, so be really careful. And it came down, and, you know, I'm just tired of saying 4-point drop, and since slip and fall kind of rhymes with crawl, I thought, eh, why not? Why not be a funny guy? You can do it. So we had a 7-point crawl, a 4-point slip and fall, but certainly not a fallen and can't get back up, because what'd we do? Right back to the zone. Not only did we go back to the zone, we put in a higher high. In fact, we put in a new high for the week. Now, let's scroll back and see, what was the high of last week? This is the highest high in recent history.
It is.
Right here. You're staring at it. Good afternoon, Michael.
Good afternoon, Dwayne.
Also, last night on the blog, I snapped a couple of other shots for you. And that highlighted the tweet from the Euro tweet from Sunday night. Now, we had a Euro tweet last night. Let me show you that. What?
Can't hear a word you're saying. Not a single word.
That's really too bad.
There we go. Now you're back. Just like that.
All right. The 6E tweet last night was to be short 3085 on a stop if the market came back down. It did not. It continued upwards, and that's fine. So we never got triggered into that trade. We were just a resting order sitting down here to sell it on a stop in the event it did reverse. It didn't. No harm, no foul. We're not in the market. Okay. All right. The other thing I put on the blog last night that you might want to peruse, I talked about the DMT indicator that is part of the CFRN indicator suite. Provides direction, momentum, and trend. Okay, that's all offered in one indicator, sort of a Swiss Army knife, if you will. There's a little video you can watch that talks about it. Also, I will always use current data to point out, to make my point, because it's easy to go back and at some point in time find a previous day where a previous chart makes your point for you. So I'll always go with some current stuff, but last night, as I was researching this, I just so happened to run into a chart that I had put up a year ago on February the 9th and February the 10th. So that's not exactly one full year. We're 2 days off, but it shows the DMT. 4-point rally, 7-point drop, 4-point rally. And again, you see price going from zone to zone back up to the zone. Same stuff. So, you can click and enlarge that chart, take a closer look at it, and then I threw in a couple of charts from last week that show the DMT at work. So, that was my evening. Got that posted for you. Oh, by the way, encourage you to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, iTunes. Leave a review. I know that many of you don't even realize that this daily radio broadcast is in fact turned into a podcast each and every day. Has been now for 6 years. It's uploaded to iTunes. And if you enjoy the program, if you have a couple minutes to spare, we'd appreciate you going there and write a review. You know, it doesn't have to be a Pulitzer Prize winning novelette. Just, hey, I like the show. It's good because blah, blah, blah. You know? Even if you don't like it, you can put that in there too. I think reviews are reviews. So, you know, whatever floats your boat. All right, Michael, I'll give you the mic and the charts, and you can all do right. your thing.
All right. I will grab it now. All right, so everyone should be looking at my charts right now. All right, let me get the recording software ready here, and we will get going. Can everyone hear me all right? Any issues with me? Am I garbled? Just checking. Okay. All right, I'm going to start the recording then. All right, good afternoon, everyone. Today is February 7th, Tuesday, February 7th, 2012. I'm going to go over the trades we took in the live trading room today. They're unfortunate. There weren't a ton of trades. There was a trade that I tried to get into over here. You see, I put the rules up here to try to get into the trade, but it didn't fill me. It did this whole run right here without pulling back. It finally pulled back right here. That wouldn't have been a trade because of this area right there, but it was going into a zone anyway. So I didn't have any trades on the ES. I mean, I'll go over the things that set up right in here for those of you who like to trade the George trade. Right in here, George took a short for 2 points right there. All right. By the time it set up for us on the four tick range right here, it was going right into the zone, so we couldn't take the trade. Market reversed, and it started to move up. There was a George trade right in here. George didn't fill. And I was waiting for the BBC to get outside the box. So it moved up from there, and we never had an opportunity. The one opportunity we had to get in on that move up was over here on the 2100 tick. We had the bullish cross and a pullback down to the BBC right here. This was a Mike R trade. I did not get into that trade, and I'm not sure why I didn't get into that trade, but I didn't. I can show it to you over here. Oh, I know why I didn't, because it was going into the resistance here on the 10K. Right here on the 10K, the same thing, but it was going into resistance. That's why I didn't take that Mike R trade there. That one went very nicely. You can see we pierced the envelope from the bottom, though the pierce wasn't green, it was still a pierce of the envelope from the bottom, suggesting we were probably going to get a good move up. We had some bullish divergence here on the combo indicator at the time on the 2100 tick. There was one thing that I can show you on the 2100 tick. Let me blow it up a little bit so you can see it a little more clearly. Alright. And I keep getting that message. Let me take my BBC off of here. I may have more than one on there. I may have more than two on there. There we go. I had three. Okay, the one thing I wanted to show you was the naked 2100 tick. All right. I'm sorry. This is not exactly naked because it's got this stuff on the bottom, but if you just ignore that and look at the MA1, at the open of the market, price was getting down below the MA1. For those of you wanting to trade this, a two-point bracket right there would have worked nicely. When it started to come up out of there, price was getting on the other side of the MA1. Two-point bracket right there would have worked very well. And right over here where it is right now, even though it's right inside a zone, right there, two-point bracket may work well right there as well. Okay. I don't trade in zones, so I wouldn't do this one, but both of these worked out very well using just a naked 2100 tick. Okay. Let me put my BBC back on here. Alright, and we'll minimize that. And
hi, David.
The 10K,
been having trouble
as I said,
with my internet for
the best entry on the 10K was right here, but we were printing
so
resistance above us, so we didn't go for that one.
To the
Dwayne took this trade in the live trading room this morning.
And
right here. We had a bearish cross down below the BBC. It pulled back up to the BBC. He went short right here, as he was moving, it stopped down.
And then I don't.
He got filled at plus 18 ticks.
And then I don't.
Okay, so we ended up getting 18 ticks out of this this morning.
And they promised me that by
price then turned around, pulled back right over here. I did not see this trade. What time was that? 10:41. It may have been when I was in that 6E trade. But anyway, it pulled back here for the move. Pretty much zone to zone on the YM. That was a nice move on the YM if you could have gotten into that one. All right. I don't know if any of our partners did. I know one of our partners, I think, got 20 points out of this. But I don't know how many others managed to get into that trade.
Phoenix.
All right.
It's under my name.
That was pretty much it on the ES and the YM. Now, so Dwayne had, I don't have his DOM up in front of me, but Dwayne had plus 18 ticks on the morning session, so that's what we're going to show. All right. I didn't have any trades fill here on the ES or the YM, so I'm not going to show anything like that, but Dwayne had plus 18 ticks. I took a 6E trade over here. Let me just show you what was going on here with the 6E. Let's scroll back a little bit to where I actually took the trade.
It seems
I have lost all the arrows that I drew on.
Online conference.
I can point it out
down.
To you.
Everybody's
right.
Going, hey, we can't
I
hear
went
you. Can't
long.
Hear you. Can't hear you.
There were a bunch of opportunities
sudden,
in here.
We can hear you again.
But the spot that I got long,
everyone else
there was an opportunity right here, but I got long right over here.
Except
okay.
Me. I dropped
I went
in
long,
and out,
right.
And out.
Hang on. Right here. Based on the white line moving up into the left, and I got out here. All right. Now it moved down, price moved down. You could have followed it on the way down for a little bit, and then it turned around and it moved up again, and we had a pierce of the envelope by a green trend strength line suggesting a good move up.
It's a brand new.
And it did have a good move up.
Nick, you're right.
I didn't take anything in here on this one right here on the move up. Okay. But it did have a nice move up. Once it did that, it came off. This was the high of the day right here. It came off the high of the day for a little bit of a move down. You see the white line move to the left of the green for a little bit of move down. It started to move back up here. It got to the high of the day, put in a double top, and it bounced pretty hard off of that double top. You can see right there. Okay. Now, right here where it is right now,
it's connected.
It's bouncing off of a couple of things right here. 3240, right here. You can't see it on this chart for some reason, but 3240 is. It's going to give me that message. 3240 is a zone right there. So it's bouncing up off the zone. There's also a larger time frame BBC right here that it's bouncing off of. So it wouldn't surprise me to see this thing bounce all the way back up. There's no setup for it here on the 4-tick range. Looking over at the 500 contract, there's no setup for it there either.
Upgrading.
So you just have to kind of wait on that. But the results from my trading the euro this morning were plus 88 ticks. Plus 88 ticks on the euro this morning. All right. That was all in the live trading room. I'm not going to count the euro trades yet in the results for the live trading room.
Well, I'm an unhappy customer, and
but,
now that I'm a
okay, hang on a sec.
I
have
service, so
just one thing I need to grab out of my email right here, quickly. I think here it is.
Okay.
Oh, you did send it.
That'd
okay.
be great.
What
time should I expect them?
This
we're gonna do this every day. We're gonna do this every day until.
Just to confirm that Dwayne made the 18 this morning, the 18 points that Dwayne got this morning right there on his DOM.
No, they're not. No, they're not.
Okay.
No, because
and
I'm going
to do that
in
the live trading room. He had the charts and he had
if
everything.
You attempt to bill me for coming
so everybody could see that.
You're a publicly right, regulated utility. Hey, you're going to get freaking internet in my house.
Let's see. I think that pretty much does it for the morning session, guys.
I don't
see any questions popping up in here. So
great.
I'm going to assume that
what
you guys don't have any questions about the morning session. So in the morning recap, Dwayne got 18.
Okay, what time
18 points on the YM. I didn't fill on any trades on the ES or the YM. I filled on the 6E and I got 88, but we're not going to count
that. No. I want to go ahead and schedule every day for the next week.
Okay.
Because I'm sick of this. For 6 months I've been trying to get decent internet into this house. I lived here 5 years, no problem.
All right.
Everything was fine.
Recording has stopped.
And then now, for 6 months now,
if anybody has any questions, really just type them in. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Technicians and independent contractors, and oh, you got the wrong modem, and you need this thing, and you need that thing, and go buy another router. And I'm done. My next call is to the corporate commission.
Most of you have seen all this in the past.
Utility. I'm sick of this. One of your guys can come out here and set all day.
For those of you who haven't,
out what the problem is.
We've done some new things with the partners. We haven't introduced any new indicators.
This is the internet.
Same old indicators, just another way of looking at them. And I know some of the partners.
Okay, you know what?
Really
you know what I'm going to tell you? You know what I'm going to tell you? There's not a problem on my side.
That we've shown.
How about that?
Then the indicators can...
There's not a problem on my side.
Can show things. Why don't we take zone-to-zone trades? Well, sometimes we do.
What time are you going to be here?
Mister. Typically in the room, though. No, we'll get into a trade, and it depends where the zone is, Jack.
I'll be here.
We may take a trade like this one right here, for instance, and I would only be looking for a couple of points. But if we were closer to the zone, like say it was right up here, you know, I may look for it to get to the zone. Okay. Zone to zone trades can sometimes take a very long time. We have 2 hours in the morning session, so sometimes it can take more than 2 hours to go zone to zone. You know, a lot of times it can take more than 2 hours. It depends how close the zones are. But but we do have ways to trade off the zones, into the zones. Well, not into them. I don't trade into the zones, but trade to the zones using the zones as targets. Zone trades or swing trades? Zone trades, yeah, zone-to-zone trades are often swing trades. You'll often find that our risk and reward on the swing trades are predicated upon the location of zones. It's not always the case, but a lot of times it's the case. Okay, that is true, Robert. And what about the ZB? You want to talk about the 30-year bonds. Okay, well, I don't have a 30-year bond chart up, but let me just put one up. I'll change this chart right here into a 30-year bond chart. Okay, ZBHU. Let me get rid of the things that I have on it. There you go. There's the zero bond. What did you want to know about it, Vlad? Yeah, you can see this is a 4-tick range on the ZBH2. How would you trade it? The same way you trade any other thing. You would look spots like this right here. All right. And spots like this right there. And yesterday, you want to see on tomorrow's buying opportunity. This is a 4-tick range chart, so this isn't going to look all the way till tomorrow. We could look at it on an hourly chart. You might be able to see a little bit more if it changes. It didn't change. Let me try it again. There we go. Alright, on an hourly chart, you would look for it to pull back. I would look for a pullback up to 42.20 on an hourly chart. Alright. Kind of like over here. Pull back here to 42.29. From there, it went up to 43.08. Not a ton of ticks. That's some, but that's an hourly chart. You know, I'm not swing trading in the live trading room in the morning. We have 2 hours, so you know, if we were to put swing trades together with the 30-year bonds, and we may at some point, then that would be more of something that you're talking about. Okay, we do have big plans for the whole swing trade product. You know, well beyond the ES. You know, trading the Euro, the ES, possibly the YM. You can do bonds, equities at some point. That's all in the future. But, I mean, you can change this chart, you know, to a 30-minute chart and see basically the same thing. This is just, really, it's just like a naked MA1, like naked 2100 tick. You know, you could even change it to a 2100 tick chart if you wanted to. Do I have a 2100? This is all the zero bond. I'm just flipping the chart around to different time frames for you so you can look at it. The setups, using the combo indicator, the thing to look for is when the white is to the left of the green and price moves on the other side of the MA1, like that move right there. No. And from here down to there. Soybeans, what's the symbol, the current symbol for the beans? ZS, but what month? You're still trading H? I haven't traded the soybeans in a long time. May is going to be the dominant month, Cliff. May. That's what, K? Is that right? Let me go look. Hold on a second. Yeah, okay. That's what I thought. Yeah. Okay. I would have to remove everything on my charts. I didn't remove everything. Let me do this. View all active indicators. And I'll remove the weekly trading zones. There we go. And we obviously can't do it on a 2100 tick. There. That's a little more like it. Okay, so here are soybeans. Soybeans trade actively from what, 10:30 my time to 12:30 my time? Is that about right? Looks like there's some movement here overnight. But basically you'd be looking for the same thing. Jack, it depends what you're trading. Okay, like the index is 9:30 to 1:15 CST. So 10:30 to 2:15 my time. All right. So what you would be looking for here is you can see the same, using the same exact thing, four tick range, just flipping over a different market altogether. When price gets below the MA1 and the white line on the combo is to the left, I think this one didn't go too far and then the white line got to the right of the green, right? But over here, price is below the MA1, white's on the left. Over here, just a little tiny move up, a better move down, then a better move up, and I mean that was overnight. There's nothing in there, nothing in there, nothing in there. Then this is this morning. Okay, so right here, this move up, what is that? 38.49, and it moved up to 41. Well, it wasn't 38.49, it was 38.50, up to 41.75. So that's what, 3.5 cents? 3.25 cents? Move down over here from 40 down to 37, another 3 cents. Move up over here was from 39.25 to 43.5, 4 cents. But basically you see it. I don't trade the beans all that much. I haven't traded the beans. I don't remember the last time I traded the beans. But you can see, and I'm just randomly jumping around. This is probably a time frame that works better. I'm using a 4-tick range. Yeah, there may be a time frame that works much better than that on the beans. For those of you guys who are in here who don't know the beans, for every cent on the beans, it's $50 a cent. Okay? $50 a cent per contract. So that's the way the beans work. And Cliff says the beans will be tradable now that we're in the May contract. Good luck with that, Robert. Let's see. When do the months roll over? Jack, it depends. The March, right now we're trading. We're trading the March contract on the indexes. That rolls over the third Thursday is when the rollover, the new contract becomes available. Actually, the second Thursday is when the new contract becomes available. The third Thursday is when it actually rolls over. All right. Any other questions? Anyone? Yeah, I agree, Cliff. As far as the beans go, and not just the beans, but the corn and all the grains, don't wait for the rollover. Just watch the volume. Watch where the volume goes. You know, you can see on hang on a minute, in here for the grains, you can put a bunch of different contracts up. Like, you can have the H corn, the K corn, and just compare the volume on them. You know, you'll see the volume. I think, did I just go by it? I think I did. Did open ask last? I did it again. Here it is, total volume, right in there, and you can see the volume. You have to go where the volume is. Okay. You can see right now we have H corn. Well, I have H corn on here, but if I add, let's say ZCK2. There's a ZCK2. Now, corn are the top two. The total volume, you see the volume on the H is 78,000 and the volume on the May is 28,000. So you would still stick with the H so far here. Yeah, March is a good month for corn, Cliff just said. Alright. Let's see. I'm going to slide that off. Does anyone else have any questions before we bring David on? I've been going for a little while here. I'm happy to answer all the questions. Is this a four tick trade opportunity? On what chart, Doug? On the 6E? Oh, on the ES. Hang on. Let me go look there. No. It's inside the zone. You need to get a higher swing. You need to get a higher swing pivot. Okay, so it would have to be above here. And then come back down to the BBC. You're going to need a fresh bubble. Alright. And so you need a higher swing, a fresh bubble, and then come back down to the BBC. Okay. I would not do anything right here inside the zone. As soon as we came up and hit this zone, it flattened right out. And it's been that way for over an hour and a half. It's been sitting flat inside this zone. So I would return things, like David says. All those things that you have to return from Christmas. Now was a fine time. All right. $39.40. They may be last week's. I think I reset mine already this morning. I'm pretty sure my zones are in the right place. So those may be last week's zones. Doug. Okay.
Okay, you ready to go to ready to go to Vegas?
Let me just show Doug really quick how to adjust the zones.
Okay.
You go View, All Active Indicators, click on CFWTZ. The numbers that are in here, copy the ones that are in the email that was sent out, and overwrite the ones that are in here. Paste them over the ones that are in here. And that will reposition all your zones. Okay? No problem. All right, ready to go to Vegas. Sorry, David.
Yes. You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310. And we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Morning, man of the hour.
Don't sing that song to your wife and fill in the words S and P. That would not be a good thing to do. But not, I love you, but not as much as the S and P. That's not a good thing to say to a woman.
Yeah. Just mention the S&P to a woman and she'll be running away. See?
Exactly. Mention the S&P to a woman, already you have no chance at that woman.
That's one way to end a date.
Right. If you want to get out of a relationship that you think is going bad, start talking about the markets, and you won't have to do any other work to end that relationship. It's that easy.
My wife says, how to end
your current relationship method. What's that?
My wife says S&P all the time.
There's a joke in there. Yeah, so what does she mean by it?
We're taking a drive or on a trip. Stop and pee, stop and pee, stop and pee.
Okay.
This is a Christian radio station.
My wife is listening to the radio program, so let me just disclose that was my way of sending a little jib-jab down the hallway just to say, hi, honey, I love you.
Okay.
The kids say it a lot, too.
If you listen carefully, you'll hear a smack.
What's your wife's name?
My 52-year-old prostate. It says it more than a few times a day as well. So my wife's name is Anne-Marie.
Anne-Marie. Well, mm-hmm. That's a nice name.
It is.
If she's listening.
It has a hyphen.
Nice.
Don't forget the hyphen.
Anne-Marie. Mm-hmm. Do you want me to say it that way?
Some people say dash.
Okay. Hi, Anne-Marie. Nice to meet you. Dwayne told me to say that. It's really weird that you like him so much since he likes the S&P. I just want to get that in there.
She's put up with me for 30-plus years, so she's pretty unique and pretty awesome.
If you go to a bar and you want to meet a woman, you're better off saying, I just got out of jail. Now, that's hot. But if you say, no, I day trade the S&P futures, the bar will empty itself of all available women. So just keep that in mind. But that can be used to end a bad relationship. Just get involved. It can even end a really good relationship. Just get into the markets. You can end any kind of relationship. How to End Any Relationship by David Williams. Get into the markets. And then want to talk about it as well with them. Honey, tonight the market had bottomed like around 3 in the afternoon, but I knew that since volume was low that the market would have a bounce up to the initial resistance level. So what it is I purchased one contract. I placed my stop a little lower, and then already you look around and she's not even there. She's already left the room. Honey, are you here? What was it, something I said? Warning you. You think it's, you know, you want to brag to a woman about you know, your financial prowess, it's not going to work. In fact, it actually will not work at all. Anyway, just wanted to let you guys know that. I think most of the men in the audience probably know that already. You know, you got to, for most women, you have to drag them kicking and screaming even to listen to anything about this. So, that's my show for the day here.
Chris says, my wife is saying symmetrical triangle in her sleep from being psychologically battered by me. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Layla says, well, what about the women in the audience?
Well, I'd like to hear from them. They could probably get some new law passed for patterned women abuse instead of battered women. Because you told them about so many different kinds of price patterns, it's actually called pattern abuse.
Well, there is a thing called battered trader syndrome.
Yeah.
I'm very familiar with that. Hey, Layla, you are correct. What about women in the audience? You know, we do have some women in our audience, and there are some women in the world of trading, and there you are part of a very small demographic, if you will, and we would love to hear from you. Are you new to trading? Have you been at it for a while? What do you trade? I would even be happy to unmute your mic if you have a mic and give you a chance to chat with us. Would you like
right,
to do
and
that?
As an encouragement, I'd like to just throw in that quite the contrary to the situation with men, if a woman says she bought the S&P at a low and bounced and took it up to the next resistance level, that's hot. Okay? If she says that, that is smoking. Okay, I'm interested. You got my attention.
And she's probably telling the truth.
And she's probably telling the truth, which men have a trouble with, you know.
Yeah, I got to say one thing about the women that I know who trade. That they're all very good at it.
Yeah, they all do seem to do well at it. We actually have a number of women customers, and I mean, I'm not. I think it's fair to say, and I think it's probably true with you. Probably 98% of our customer base, from all over the, you know, the United States and the world, are men, and we do have a small number of women that are very, you know, when you talk with them, they know what they're talking about with the markets. They've delved into it, and it is very interesting to have conversations with them because, just like in so many other areas, women view things quite differently. The way that they interpret, process information, they do it differently than men do. And I've learned a bit from talking with women about their trading styles, you know, what prompts them into a trade, and it's interesting. You know, if you get a chance to, and it would be interesting to have a woman on from the audience, if you would be kind enough and open enough to want to talk a little bit about it, I think it would be really interesting to have you on the program. So there you go. We could talk a little bit about cooking too, if you want, if that helps.
Cliff said, whenever I say market, my wife goes, could you pick up some eggs and some milk and a loaf of bread?
Yeah, well, it's even worse with me because when my girlfriend and I go to the market, we'll be walking around and I'll say, well, honey, she'll say, I'm going to pick up some of these vegetables right here. And I don't buy them now. I think they're going to go up 6 cents in about 15 minutes here. So, you know, I'm always guessing the price is where they're going to go.
When my wife is having trouble sleeping, she asks me to talk to her about the markets.
There you go. Now that'll put you to sleep. That's a good one. That's a very good way to put a woman right to sleep. You could use that as anesthesia in a dental's office. You know, just have somebody come in and talk about markets.
Hafshin has a good observation. The reason women tend to make good traders is because they tend to not be greedy and they tend to be very conservative. Now, Hafshin, I know some people would argue that point with you, but I think you're onto something.
I think that there is definitely some truth to that. They think differently about buying and selling just in general. You know, have you ever noticed that, I don't know if you're like me, but if I buy something and I don't particularly like it or it didn't work out that well, even though it kind of worked, I'm very hesitant to return things to the store. I wasn't raised in that environment where, you know, where you're shopping like women are. And, you know, if something isn't right, you just return it.
When you and I retire, we can open a little store
for men to return their stuff.
We'll call it the non-returned item store. All the stuff
right,
we meant to return over the years and just never got around to.
I think there's something inside of me. I think there's a little thing. I'm almost embarrassed to return something. I know, as strange as that sounds, I bought it, and if it didn't work. But I think there's some part of me that just doesn't want to go through that process. But it's nothing for women. That's the way they've been raised, you know, the Sears thing. You buy stuff, and it's not exactly what you wanted. You just bring it right back. They take it right back. And I want to remind people, including men, I really had an eye-opening experience at the moderately middle to high-end store called Nordstrom's, which we have out here. And I've said this before. I just want to say it again. Nordstrom's doesn't have a return policy. You can return anything you want at Nordstrom's. And you might not have even bought it there. You can bring old peanut butter jars in, and they'll take them in and give you clothes for it if you're a Nordstrom customer. There's no questions asked. The first time I was there, I was buying a couple of pairs of jeans, and I was complaining about the pair that I had on, and the guy says, well, just return them. And I said, well, I've had these for like a year. He says, no, just return them. I'll give you a new pair. I said, I didn't even buy them here. And he said, take them off. I'll just replace them. I said, even if I didn't buy them here originally? He said, no problem. He said, you're buying clothes here now. We'll take these jeans in. I said, well, don't people abuse that? Wouldn't people just, you know, take complete advantage? He says, we know the difference between a customer and somebody who's just abusing it. And if you're a customer, you know, we don't have a return policy. In other words, we don't have guidelines that you have to follow. You return something, we'll take it back. If you're purchasing clothes, we'll do it with you. And, you know, that was such a refreshing, it's very much like Sears, I guess, except even less guidelines. So now, believe it or not, I've been to Nordstrom's three or four times because, A, it's a pleasure to walk through and get really good high-end help from people on, you know, if you're buying a nice shirt or a nice pair of shoes or something, if you want to do that. There's people there that know what nice looks like. And I got news for you. I'm not sure that I know. And so I need help. And these people, they really do know. And I should send you a picture of myself, how nice I look in some of these clothes. And standing next to that electric car of mine. And then, you know, I'm ready to go. You know, someone gives me some trouble, I'm saying, hey, look who you're talking to here. I'm not polluting anything. I got a nice pair of shoes, and look at this shirt from Nordstrom's.
Well, that liberal return policy is certainly offset by the fact that they charged you $400 a pair for those jeans.
No, I beg to differ with you Mr. Dwayne Reeves from CFRN. The only place that charges $400 for a pair of jeans is True Religion.
Yeah.
That's where you can pay. If you want to pay $400 or $350 for a pair of jeans.
But let's face it, Nordstrom's is not, it's not discount shopping. Now, they have another part of their return policy is, as you say, they're very liberal. If you don't like it, you bought it, you know, you can bring it back. We don't hassle you.
You can bring it back in 6 months.
Yeah.
Washed, worn, ironed 50 times, and they'll take it back and give you something else of equal value.
Now, here's the thing, though. Also, if you buy something and you get to the car and realize you don't like the color, and you turn right around and come back in and return it, their policy states that no return ever goes back on the rack, never goes back on the shelf. That's just one of the things that they use to set themselves apart. They do have an outlet store here in Phoenix, or they used to, I think they still have it, called Last Chance. And that's where all the Nordstrom's returns from this area of the country go to. And they get their new merchandise in. It used to be on Tuesday mornings. And there would be like this throng of people waiting for them to roll up the gate. And there would be security guards on hand with pepper spray. And they would come out with like a bullhorn and go, okay, people, we're going to open the gate here in 3 minutes. There will be no running, no pushing, no pulling, no biting, no hair grabbing. I mean, it would like go down the list and say, if you misbehave, we're going to throw you out because you've got $50, $75 shirts that are about to be available. There's nothing wrong with them for, you know, $5. $10,
yeah.
And that applies to pants and shoes and purses and everything that Nordstrom carries. And so it's quite an event when that new truck comes and they roll that door on, used to be Tuesday morning. I don't know if it is anymore.
No, it's nice. Now, listen, a lot of men are probably like me in many ways, which is that I'm not crazy about shopping. I do very little clothes shopping. And you were saying Nordstrom's not a discount store, but you, in very many ways in life, you get what you pay for. There are much nicer clothes there. You can put on a shirt of any kind there, and it looks nicer. It just, you can dress yourself up and look nice, you know, if you want to. You don't have to look like you're, you know, trying to look like $1 million. Just nicer clothes. You do have to pay more for those clothes. But the fact is that, I think the thing that really attracted me to it was just the no hassle part of it. The fact is I don't like shopping. I don't like looking for clothes. I don't know how to look for clothes. A lot of the men that work there are gay, and, you know, to be blunt, and they are very good at helping you get dressed so you look nice. And that's another thing that I kind of like about it, is that these guys know how to dress up nicely. They know the kind of clothes that they sell there, and they know how to put things together for you. And it's kind of like having, I mean, you know, take this for what it's worth, it's kind of like having a little bit of a woman's eye towards how something looks on you. So I didn't know all this before, but, you know, after having that one experience where I just knew I needed some jeans and went in there and the guy took the jeans I came in on and gave me new jeans for them, then I came back another time. And so it's just a very no-hassle deal. You don't have to go to the customer, you know, special area and bring your receipt and, you know, what day it was with a video of it and all that. You just walk in and just throw the stuff on the counter. They credit you for it and you get going. So not that I've even used the policy. I've only used it the first time I was there. I've never brought anything back. But something about knowing that it's there is really nice. So for those of you guys that are like me that don't like to particularly shop, here's a place that, yeah, you pay a little bit more, you'll get some nicer clothes, but you'll also get a really good, you know, easy in and out kind of thing. You know, you don't have to be there too long. Somebody there that really knows how to put some clothes together for you will do it, and then you can feel nice and surprise your woman, dress up and say, no, I picked it myself, honey. Do you like that? Yeah, I'm getting my eyes a little bit better than it used to be with, you know, just kind of dressing up. You know, I'm kind of maturing a little bit in that area. I think you appreciate that. Something like that. Yeah, don't talk about the markets, but just the clothes thing. You'll keep their attention with the clothes. Do not mention you bought the third hour low in the S&P, though. Don't do that. That's a no-no. All right. And especially on, what's the thing coming up, Valentine's.
Hey, Layla
no market
wants
talk
to,
on Valentine's.
Layla wants to chat, so let me go here.
Well, let's bring her on.
And this will
this
be...
This is exciting.
This is for us, you know, not
This is a big event, Layla.
Okay, I'm going to unmute your mic right now. Okay, Layla, you have
Hello?
An open mic. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you.
Welcome, Layla.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
I'm speaking from England.
Oh. Well, England is... Dwayne, I don't think you have any English in you, do you?
My last name is Reeves.
Reeves, I do have a little English in me, Layla, so if you feel already a little closer, a little warmer towards me, I can tell you that that's primarily because I do have some English in me. So go ahead, please.
Okay. I feel very at home now.
Okay, good. We want to hear from
cold.
You.
Okay. What
go
do
ahead.
You want to know?
Well, okay. You know, you offered to come on. I can ask you a question. First of all, do you trade in the markets?
I do trade intermittently because I have a full-time job, and I try to trade as much as I can, but it's a bit of a struggle, I find, with a job.
And what do you trade?
I trade indices and Forex.
Mm-hmm.
I trade using spread betting, which we have here that you don't seem to
have
there.
That. Yeah, we don't.
No.
And what got you into the markets, Layla? How did you get into this?
I can't remember. I got into it a long time ago, and I started with using the Market Matrix,
mm-hmm.
which is another,
yes.
well, you probably know it, learning point.
Yes, I do. Yes.
And so I've been using, well, I use that on and off. It has its uses. And I don't know how I got into it, to be honest. I think I was made redundant from my previous position, and I had some time, and I thought it would be a good way of making a living.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
that's hot.
At the time, it didn't turn out to be, as it happens.
Yeah, what are you
it
doing
this
weekend?
It was much harder to make a living.
No, that's great that you are into the markets. And so you're in England. You trade in the markets. What time do the markets open there?
The main markets open here at 8 o'clock, which is 9 o'clock European time. So all the European markets open at 8 o'clock here. Obviously, the Forex is going 24 hours, but they start to come to life at about 5 or 6 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time I get home from work, which is now, I've got a couple of hours left of the US markets when they tend to seem to have gone to sleep mainly, so I don't get much time to do it.
Well, that is very interesting. We get up out here in Pacific time. We're up at 5:30, or no, excuse me, the markets open at 6:30 Pacific, 8:30 Central, and 9:30 Eastern time. And do you trade about 2 hours a day, did you say, or no? How many hours a day are you doing that?
At the moment, yeah, I trade when I get home from work, so I try and trade from 6 till 9, which is the last 3 hours of the U.S., market. But to be honest, the European session is much better. I mean, it's much smoother and more trending. By the time you get to this time of night, I think it starts to get messy. Well, that's my point of view anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's much harder to trade this.
And would you say that your trade... Oh, go ahead, Michael.
I was just going to say, I'm sorry, what market did you say you traded?
The main one that I trade is the Dow, and if I'm not working during the European session, the IBEX, which is the Spanish index, which you would like very much.
Hmm.
It's very good to trade.
Are
but
you
if I'm not, then...
Go ahead.
Sorry?
The Dow
and the Euro... the pound sometimes as well.
Do you consider yourself a day trader? Are you out of your positions by the time the day ends, or do you hold overnight in any conditions?
Sometimes. Sometimes I hold overnight.
Okay.
Yeah, sometimes I hold overnight. I'm not particularly concerned about holding overnight because most of the time overnight nothing much happens here. Whereas if you hold overnight, you've got the whole European session to take into account.
Mm-hmm.
Overnight here is pretty dead.
Okay.
I'm not too worried about that.
Well, that's very interesting.
I mean, I'm up at 5 o'clock in the morning, so when things start to come to life, normally.
What did you think of our conversation earlier about men talking to women about trading? Is there any truth
to
that?
Well, in my experience, I don't know. I couldn't possibly say, but all I know is that anybody I speak to about trading just switches off. So I think it could be true.
Even men?
If I show anybody charts, they go, oh, wow, that's nice. And then they walk away. So.
Well,
Layla, a question for you. Do you trade with a broker there in the UK or with one here in the US?
I don't have a broker. I use spread betting. It's a completely different system.
Could you tell us how that works just briefly? Because I don't think most of our audience here in the US is familiar with that.
Okay. It's considered gambling, and in a way it is, because they're taking the other side of your bet. So you can say, for instance, on the S&P or any security or equity, you can trade for a pound a point or as many pounds per point as you want, and some will even do it for 10p a point. So you don't have to buy a contract which is equivalent of, say, $25 a point. you can do it much smaller. So you can start with a few hundred pounds instead of thousands of pounds if you want to.
And this is what you're doing, you're spread betting.
I use spread betting, yeah. And so there's a spread on each thing, and they compete with each other on spreads. So the cheapest ones to trade are, say, the Dow or the FTSE, and some of the currencies where the spread is just 0.7, that's like 70p.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very cheap to do it.
Hmm.
It's illegal there because it's considered gambling, whereas a lot of people use it here. Most people I know use spread betting, even professionals use spread betting.
So you're like saying, today I think the Dow will close above a certain price or below a certain price. Is that how it works?
No, it's exactly the same. You can do binaries, but which is, you know, betting whether it'll be above or below a certain price. But it's exactly the same thing as you do. Say, what is it now? 1,343.50. So you would buy at 1,343.50, the spread on the S&P is plus 3.3, and you would sell it exactly like you do. It's exactly the same process.
Okay, so if you
but
bought
you're
it,
not
if
buying the real futures, what you're doing is just betting on the price. They use exactly the same prices. They're following the futures or the cash.
So if you bought it right now at 1,34.50 and you sold it at 1,44.50, let's say it moved 1 point, what would that be worth to you?
If it was a pound a point, you would get 10 pounds because it's the decimal point. If you did it 10 pounds a point, you'd get 100 and so on. So if you put £100 a point, you'd get £1,000. That's how it works. So it's entirely up to you how much you want to risk, basically. You can put your stop loss wherever you want to put it.
Hmm.
So whereas yours isn't the E-mini, it's a minimum of $25 a point, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is.
Well, it's $50 a point or $12.50 a tick.
$12.50, yeah. Yeah, you see, that would be considered people. People. You can spread bet as big as you want, but you can also do it very small and conservatively if you want to get started without risking a lot of money.
And so you make.
So that's the attraction.
You make an initial deposit with the firm, and then that's sort of like going into a casino and saying, you know, give me X amount in chips or whatever, and so you have that to work with. So there's not really margin requirements, and you can hold a position for a day or a week or an hour. Is that correct?
Yeah, you can hold it as long as you like. You can roll it over. You can buy the futures contracts and hold them for the term of the contract and roll them over in exactly the same way as you would with futures trading. So you would deposit some money with them. Say, for instance, you put £500 or £1,000 or £10,000, whatever. Each security that you buy has a margin requirement, say £50 per point, for instance, for the Dow. But you would need to have multiples of that in there to be able to trade. So you can't trade above what you've got in your account.
You can lose it all,
and you can lose more than you've got in your account if you haven't got stop losses. But if you place a stop loss, then you're covered.
So, yeah, the people that are on the other side of the bet are guaranteed to get paid by you having to put up the margin. Very similar, in fact, exactly the same as what we do in the United States with regard to the other party being paid.
Yeah, they'll take the spread in the middle. That's how they make their money.
Yeah, that part I'm not quite clear on. Well,
okay, so you're saying the spread right now is 3 points. So in order for you to break even on a trade, price would need to move 3 points to put you at break even?
Yeah, three ticks. So
three ticks.
It's point on the S&P, it's point 0.03, I think.
Okay, so at that point you're at break even. You've
in
effect
paid. Yeah, you're break even. So you need to get it needs to go in your direction 0.3 and then it goes to 0. So you put on your bet and it'll show minus 0.3 or multiples of that until it goes in your direction.
Why do they consider that betting as opposed to however they think of stock trading or futures trading directly, not in the spread betting format? Why is it they consider that betting and not the other?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's because you're not actually in the real live market, and a company has, you know, set up to take to follow the markets and to take the other side of your bet, and that's how it works, which is great for us because it's tax-free.
What is tax-free?
Your profits are tax-free because gambling is tax-free in this country.
Wow.
Whereas if I was to do it live through a futures broker or a forex broker, I would have to pay capital gains tax on my profits.
And your capital gains tax rate is very high, isn't it?
I think it's 18% and 28%, depending on your earnings.
I'm sorry, did you say it was 28% or 80%?
No, 18 if you're a low-wage earner and 28 if you're a high-wage earner. So
I see, okay.
It's 28% basically, yeah.
Okay. Wow.
So most people, everybody I know, except for one person, spread bets. And some people, they'll do a bit of Forex trading for a Forex broker, or not a broker, but a Forex company like, say, FXCM or FX Pro or something like that as well. But most people spread bet because of the tax-free advantages and the fact that you can do small or large bets depending on how sure you are of what's going to happen, you know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. So if a person was really pretty skilled at spread betting, he could make tax-free income from that.
Yes, yes.
That's interesting. Well, you have opened our eyes to spread betting. Even though I'm still not quite sure I completely understand it, but I think if I spoke with more of an accent, I would understand it better, an English accent. But it takes time to develop. That takes time to develop.
I don't know if you can even access the sites from there, but one of the biggest ones over here is called IG Index. And if you went on to Google UK and looked up IG Index, you could see the platform anyway.
Okay, I'm going to try to bring that up. Tell me again, what's the site?
IG Index.
IGindex.com?
Yeah, I'm on it. I see it here. It's you don't even have to go. You just go onto Google and you can see it. It's a spread betting site.
Okay, IGindex.co.uk. Okay. Now, I'm not.
You see the live prices, get a ticket, you can place orders, limit orders, stop orders, you can do everything exactly the same thing as you can do as if you were. You wouldn't know the difference, I think, if you were trading. Except that you don't have this problem that I hear you talking about getting a fill, because there isn't an issue about getting a fill. You click on buy and you buy, you click on sell and you sell, and it happens.
Hmm. Well, what do you think of that, Dwayne?
I knew a little bit about it, but I wasn't really sure. here's my thought. what little bit I knew about it and what little bit I had read about it was it sounded like a dangerous and scammy kind of a thing where you didn't have a chance at being successful. But in fact, Layla, it sounds like, from what you're telling us, that it's a very acceptable way of doing business.
Mm. It is, yeah. Most people use it. Some people will use it alongside buying shares. They're buying ETFs as well, depending on how big their investments are. But everybody uses it here. It's just so available. It's so easy to use. And there are so many companies all competing with each other that there used to be stories about them slipping you and stopping you out on purpose to get you out of the trade. But I think that kind of thing has gone away now. It's so competitive.
Yeah, we've had many of those same stories out here as well about ordinary trading. That,
oh, really?
Yeah, that people do that. They force the market up or down, and they stop you out of your position, and then they turn the market right around and go the other way.
Hmm.
Bill in the audience says that this was a popular way to trade in the U.S. in the early 20th century. It was a way for the common man to trade. And are you referring, Bill, to the bucket shops? Where you were literally betting on the price, not actually purchasing shares in a company. And Bill says yes. Okay. All right.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. But it's very high tech. I'm very competitive now. And you get charts you can get through, for instance, IG Index's advanced charts are incredibly advanced. They've got all the indicators you could possibly want. They've got fractals, automatic fractals. I mean, they've got everything on there if you want them. You get everything through them, and it's all part of the service, really, because they want your business. They want your money.
Yes. They even have an app for the iPad.
Yes. Oh, I can get it on. I've got an Android Samsung phone, and I can get the app on there. I can trade on my phone as well.
What are the legalities of U.S. citizens trading on this?
It's illegal, isn't it?
I don't know. I would think.
I think so.
Certainly the tax-free part. we don't have any of those programs.
I think it's legal out here if you do it from Nordstrom's. If you're in there while you're returning merchandise, you can spread bet while you're there. That's another advantage to going to Nordstrom's.
I think it's a British thing. I don't know if you can even do it. Some of the companies have. They're in Europe. But they must have different rules, I suppose. I don't know what the tax rules are in the rest of Europe, but definitely you can't do it in the States, I think. It's illegal. You don't have gambling sites, do you, in the States?
We don't in the States. We do have gambling, online gambling, but the sites, I still believe, are not located in the United States.
Yeah, they set up offshore.
Yeah.
Can you bet on horses and things like that online?
You can bet on horses here in the United States. I don't know if you do it online or not, but we do have horse. I think we still do have horse racing in America here where people bet on it. People place bets at horses. We have sports books out here where people bet on fights. People bet on the World Cup. People on the Super Bowl and all that stuff.
Well, some of the same companies that do the bets for the horses and the fights and all those other things also have spread betting on the markets to a limited extent as well. So they're all in it, trying to get money in the markets.
Yeah. Well, that is an interesting... the whole thing is interesting, and I'm really glad that you... what prompted you to get online with us? Because that's very bold, because we have quite an audience of people listening to you, giggling in the background there about the markets. What's that?
I can't tell that there's anybody out there, so that's
fine. I think that's very bold of you.
I take your word for it. No, I've been listening every night for the last few months. So, I'm actually booked on your seminar, so I'm coming to your reflective wave seminar.
Oh, well, that's amazing. I'm really happy to hear that, and I'll be very happy to meet you there. And we don't allow spread bedding in the seminar room. I mean, just in case, you know, right, while you're there, you'll have to just put that aside, I'm sure. Just long enough to learn the method, and then we'll go from there. Now, that's wonderful. I'm delighted that you're coming in. Really, that's very bold of you to come on the radio, and I really appreciate your willingness to tell us about that and come out. And I'm looking forward also, now that I know you're coming, to meeting you. And I can talk in English as well. I mean, I like an English accent. And if it makes you feel any better about things, I'll do that, even during the seminar.
I'd like you to do the seminar in an English accent. That would be very
all right,
nice.
I would be very happy to do that. And I'll mention that to people when I get up. They'll all look at you for the reason why that's happening. No, but that's wonderful. I'm really happy to meet you. And Dwayne, do you have anything else?
Layla, I just want to thank you for coming on the show today. We offer the mic out to mostly anyone that wants to come on and chat with us, and most people are a little mic shy, but you're not, and I think that's wonderful. And I wish you all the very best in your trading. Please do come hang out with us on the radio program as often as you can, as often as you will. And I'm just sorry that I won't be at the seminar coming up and have an opportunity to meet you in person, but maybe another time.
Yeah, maybe. Thank you. It's been
Yeah, Dwayne has really long hair. Yeah, thank you so much for coming on. That's very that's very nice of you, and we're very happy to hear from you. Listen, this hasn't happened in 6 years of being on the radio, has it, Dwayne?
With the exception of Leslie, no. We have not.
With the exception of Leslie, who's a professional.
We have not.
And we have not had this happen. So this is a first. So that's very nice of you. You sound very upbeat and happy, and I'm glad to hear that you're doing well out there. And I'm looking forward to meeting you. And Dwayne, I'll tell you all about her and the seminar and my English accent when she comes out. Okay. How I pulled that off.
Very good.
Well, I look forward to it. Actually, I can't wait.
Okay, good. We can't wait to have you out here. Thank you for coming on the radio today. And any other time, if you have something interesting, you just text in and they'll put you right on. Dwayne will.
I'll make sure
he does.
You bet. You got it.
All right. Well, thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye, Lily.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Now, Dwayne, that is a first.
That was a nice treat. That really was.
That really was a nice treat.
Let's see. That would deserve... Layla, this is for you. And I'm pretty sure there's an old rock song called Layla something.
There is.
I don't feel like Googling it right now.
Eric Clapton.
Eric Clapton. Yeah. Okay. All right. You talked me into it. Go ahead. Tell us about the markets. Tell us what you got going on. What are you looking at?
All right. Well, let's see. Okay. Well, first of all, that was delightful. And, you know... these English people, you have to, you know, I liked when she said, it's a British thing. I like that. I'm going to use that line. You know, if I say something really embarrassing and nobody gets it and I'm standing there looking like an idiot, which happens quite often, I'm just going to say, listen, it's a British thing. And people go, oh, that's why we don't get it. Okay. That's a good line. Okay, let's, do you want to start with the S&P? We'll work our way, or where would you like to start today? We can
here, let's start with this. Eric, just sing the song.
Yeah.
I always pick the wrong version. This is some weird live version. Come on. There we go. Bert and Slick, you're getting goosebumps.
What do you do when you get bored?
All right, Layla, there's our Eric Clapton tribute to you. Thanks for
that. That is
on the
really
show.
Nice. You know, that I've mentioned this before on the radio. I just want to say again, I play music, I play guitar, I've been in bands, and we used to play that song. Little did I know that many, many years later, I would be on a radio program of some repute and speaking with a woman named Layla. That's the only Layla that I've ever known in my life, that name. That's a first as well. I don't know about you, Dwayne.
Yeah, it is.
So we had a lot of firsts coming there. Okay, let's take a look at the S&P. Let's get right into it here. There's a lot of subtle things going on in the S&P here, but let's cover them quickly because we've covered them many times and it'll make sense to most people. First of all, the market obviously is in a very powerful uptrend, and this all has to do with the longer-term bottom that was put in October of this year. Reflected wave had called for a bottom, and the market continues to advance. We had mentioned that the market would move up substantially more than would be normally expected off of that low. Primarily, that wasn't a difficult call, primarily because simultaneous with the monthly reflected wave bottom, there was also a roadmap indication from an even larger time frame, and that showed that, and there was one other bit in there as well that showed that the market would have a much more powerful impetus to the upside. So we've heard and we've spoken to people that have, you know, at that where you would might have normally thought the market would have been reversing, it did have a somewhat of a small reversal and then broke out to new highs and continued up to the point now where today we have finally completed the forecast for the run from 1315, which if they broke out above 1315, it would indicate 1344. And today we did in fact complete 1344 on the upside, and we're starting to have our first reaction. The 1344 is a longer term upside target. The fact that they're completing that is now the earliest piece of evidence that the top that we're talking about for March, which is they're the forecast on time month for a top, we've already now completed the minimum longer term price, which is 1344. So that puts the market into a more vulnerable position, because we are right now in the 1 month early for this monthly top. So 1344 has been put in, and we'll see how the market reacts off that. They don't have to stop there, but as I've mentioned a number of times, if the market were to close above 1344 in the month of February, which is 1 month early, short term, that's the stronger position. If it were to close below the 1344 in the month of February, and I understand we still have quite a bit of days left in February, of course, but if it does close below that, that would be another indication that for the potential of the top coming 1 month early in February rather than in March on the on-time month. And as we move a little closer, we're going to message out a roadmap to the Messenger Pro subscribers for the exact price movement that we are forecasting the market will move down off of that high. So, and even if we were giving this out on the radio as a roadmap, I would still hold it off right now because I don't want to tempt people. I've seen this before, and you have to remember we're seeing it from our perspective, which is from giving it out to others, that people tend to jump and, you know, if you say, well, there's going to be a top in March, it might come 1 month early, and we're looking for such and such a decline, people will just jump in right then and there and sell it. Even if you tell them, don't do that, wait for later, they'll do that, and then they hurt themselves because the market wants to go higher, as we've talked about so many times here. Don't short this market. It wants to go higher. Any pullbacks are very quick, you know, short-lived, and the market wants to move higher. And we've been seeing that kind of behavior for quite some time here. I still want to say that having completed 1344, we have no indication yet that the market is done on the upside. And so be very careful with the short side. I really prefer, as I've mentioned a number of times over the last several weeks, just buy pullbacks. And then later, as and now with 1344 completed, that helps. It's a little bit more. There's a little bigger piece of the, you know, the tumbler. One of the tumblers has turned, and that's helpful. That doesn't mean it's over yet. I would normally expect a reaction of some kind off of 1344, but this is a larger number, meaning that it is they could spike this, get through it, and then pull back later to have it look like, you know, a tail hanging above there. And you know, it could spend some time above it, but we'll see how they trade with this today. Let's let them continue up. The final part of the move of any of these moves can just blow through everything. It can just go run and run and run. As an example, today we're one day late for a top in the S&P. Now we've completed this 1344. Under normal conditions, we're going to see a reaction off of this into tomorrow. Barring this being a, you know, blow off top, which would run through anything and everything at that point. If that was the case, then we would see that type of move. We have news. Some news has been good. As we've talked about this, some of the news with the economy has been good, and I'm very much, I'm happy. I'm delighted to hear that the economy that we're down to 8.3 or something unemployment, which is a substantial increase, decrease in unemployment, increase in employment from where we were at one point. We think we were at 9.1 or something. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good, the economy has turned around somewhat there. We'd like to see it. It would be really good if they got under 8. If we get under 8, things are starting to really rock and roll, and I'm starting to, I'm feeling like buying U.S. Treasury bonds, at that point. Right now, I'm not sure they can pay them back. But that would be really helpful. Just kind of joking about that. I think they can pay them back, but not all at once. If everybody asked for all their money back all at once right now, the United States couldn't pay that bill. All the people that we owe money to, all the debt that we have sold to other countries in the form of United States Treasury bills, we don't have the money to pay that back. Shh. Apple has more money than we do.
What if they hear you, David?
Well, they don't want to. They're getting interest. That's part of the $10 billion a week that we're paying in interest, we're paying to them. We borrowed that money. That's why I said yesterday, why are we borrowing all this money? What is so big that we need to continuously borrow this money? Why is the entire output and the taxable revenue of that output not enough for this country to run on that we owe $10 billion a week in interest? Where is that? What is that? What are we spending all that on? What if that wasn't there, how much better we would be? I know there's a lot of programs and there's a lot of things that are very important to some groups and some people, but isn't it also important for America not to be saddled with enormous mind-bending debt? Isn't it important for us to be able to wake up and know that we're not going to have to be, quote-unquote, paying our fair share to pay down all of this debt? Well, we're there now. I mean, it's a happy thought to think that we wouldn't have that debt. It's interesting, too, that when you look at the programs that are put into play here in America to pay down the debt, the pay down of debt is like, well, we're looking to pay it down $3 trillion, okay, over the next 10 years. Well, but we just increased it by $6 trillion in 3 years. So paying it off $3 trillion in 10, the pay down is a whole lot slower if you've ever owed money to anybody or like the IRS or something. Your payoff takes a long time. Anybody been through that situation where, you owe money and you have to run your normal business of living and you have to pay your normal bills, et cetera, then you also have to pay that debt off. Well, it takes a lot longer to do that over time. That's why it is that we can only pay $3 trillion. And that $3 trillion that we pay off over 10, that doesn't mean that we're not adding new debt on top of what we already have. That just means we're planning on paying back $3 trillion. Under this type of administration, I can guarantee you we'd be at around $22 trillion in debt in 10 years. That's where we would be with the spending that they want to do. And that's after we would have paid off that $3 trillion. That $3 trillion payoff doesn't mean we're not adding in ever more debt. It just means that's what we've agreed to pay off. Somebody has to stop these people from borrowing and spending. We have to figure out a way to live happily without borrowing and spending until the whole house of cards comes down. And that's what everybody's afraid of. And if you want to know where the Tea Party came from, it came from people who are shocked and in fear for America spending itself into oblivion, and for government, growing to a mammoth size and needing ever more money until finally we really are just slaves working for, won't need a terrorist organization to come here and put us into camps. We'll be in those camps just to keep the government alive at its bloated level and to pay off all the debt that they're spending. And you'll have to pay your fair share, and you'll be hearing all kinds of that phrase being thrown at you. But you won't hear them saying, we're going to cut back our fair share of the spending, because there's always a new reason to spend. There's always another program. There's always another need that has to be satisfied. We've got to spend. We were just about to give another $1.5 billion. Who were we going to give that to? Some country. Oh, it's Egypt. We were about to give another $1 billion to Egypt, $1.5 billion, and we might not give it to them now because Egypt is now planning on prosecuting, or apparently are going to charge and take to trial 12 Americans for various charges, and our administration is against that, and we may, end up not giving them $1.5 billion. I got news for you. If you added up all the money that we gave away, that we are giving away, I mean giving away, not that we get anything in return, just giving money in the sums that you can't even fit on your normal calculator. If you added all that up to all the different countries that we're giving money away to, you would be amazed and appalled, shocked and appalled at the amount of money that we just give away to other countries. And what do we get in return for that $1.5 billion we give to Egypt? What is that? What are we going to get from that? How does that help America by giving them $1.5 billion? I know, it's no big money anymore, $1 billion, because we owe $16 trillion, so it's just no big thing. But if you add that up with all the other money that we're giving away to these other countries and programs that you and I don't even know about, they don't even talk about it. They will if you ask them, but they don't talk about it. It's unfathomable. How come we do that? How come we can't pull that back? Do you realize how much money that would put into, us to pay down our debt? I mean, what business do we have funding these other countries, feeding these other countries money? When's the last time some other country gave us $1.5 billion? Who is it that's going to give us $1.5 billion or $2.5 billion or $10.5 billion? Who is it that's going to do that since we're upside down, since our credit rating has been dinged, since we might... we've been through a big bad time. Where's the countries? Do you know of a country that gives us money like that? Dwayne? Do you know of one?
No.
I don't know of anyone.
No.
We're in the business of giving other countries money, though.
How do we do that?
I don't know. I mean, seriously, that is just a real, real misunderstanding on my part of what that is and how that works. If somebody in the audience knows what other country gives us money in the billions of dollars, not to buy our T-bills, just gives it to us, just hands it over. Here's some money for you. We see that you're hurting over there in this area or in that area. Your housing's depressed. Here's $10 billion, just because we heard that your housing's down, or whatever. Does anybody know? I'm seriously asking the question. Does anybody know of any other country that is giving us money, or are we the only country that's handing out trillions, probably, when it's all said and done, to other countries? And what's the explanation for that? Why does that money go there? How does it help us? And why are we doing it now when we have a national debt that is larger than the combined output of our economy, financial combined output of our economy? Our debt at the end of this year will be $16 trillion. Why are we doing that? I'd like to know. Well, we have to give it to Egypt because this... Oh, it's really important that we give it to them, that $1.5 billion, but if they prosecute these 12 Americans, then we're not going to give it to them. So I guess it wasn't that important to give it to them. I mean, I don't understand. I really don't. Maybe I just don't understand how the real world works, and that very well may be the case. And I mean that seriously. Maybe we have something going on that just needs, we just need to keep feeding the drug dealers or the whatever. I don't know. Maybe the conspiracy theorists are right. I don't get it. Nobody's doing that for us. But we are running around the world just handing out billions and billions of dollars in every day on top of the fact that we're so upside down now. I don't get it. I'd love to get a good, clear explanation from somebody as to why we do that, why nobody else does it for us, why that's a responsibility of ours to do that, and especially in this time right now where, you know, America is essentially upside down, and we're in the position where we just hand out this money. And then, of course, it was really important to give it to them, but as soon as they're prosecuting 12 Americans, well, we might not give that to you now. Oh, okay, so what are we buying something from these people? Are we buying their loyalty? Is there some big political thing? Israel and Egypt have an alliance together, and we want them to stay together, so we feed them money. I don't know. But honestly, that crap's got to stop. I mean, that is just a bunch of nonsense, unless someone can explain it to me. That's our tax dollars. The government doesn't create that money. We pay it to them. And then they just give it away. Write your congressman, a senator, and say, could you explain to me why we give all the money? First of all, make a list for me of all the money that we're giving to other countries. All of it. Let's see that list. And then let me get out my Radio Shack, you know, Patrolman Series calculator, and let's find out how much it is. And then I'd like a clear explanation from somebody as to why we're doing that. You're not handing it out to us. You're not creating incentives and opportunities for us, but you're giving it to other countries. I'd love to know why. Can't wait to hear it. Anyway, I did say the other day that the military is one area of the government that does do pretty well, but I do want to say that when it comes to the financial side, you know, that's the side that also, you know, buys the $800 hammers that we still hear about and on and on and on. What is it about government that makes people, perfectly good, ordinary people, like attorneys, people who have gone to law school, you know, it's no small thing to become an attorney, and to go through all that, then go through the whole process of becoming elected and, you know, having to live their lives under a microscope, all that stuff, and then they just become idiots. At what point does that transition take place? They're still in a suit and a tie, they still look great, they still talk great, but everything they do is just wastes money. I don't understand that. I mean, that's one of the reasons that, I mean, this is not a political pitch for Mitt Romney, but that's one of the reasons I like him, is because, you know, he has a common sense side to him, I think, I hope, that he's run these businesses, he knows what waste looks like and smells like, and he'll maybe do something about it, because we really have a serious problem there with other countries, aside from other programs and things that we're doing here in the United States. But it would be a nice America if we weren't saddled with $10 billion a week in interest payments. It really would. We could do a lot with this country. We could go a lot further than being tied down the way we are. Having said all that, I'm excited to see, like I said before, that the economy's picked up, and I'm delighted that, you know, the unemployment rate is lower now than it was before. I really am. I'm hoping that we see that continue, in spite of the fact that I can't stand this administration. I hope we see it continue. I hope it gets better and better, even if it helps this guy get into office, which I hope it doesn't. All right, so let's move on. Let's take another quick look at the S&P here. So we're up near the highs here of the day.
Have you decided if you're going to vote for the Mormon guy or the polygamous guy?
I don't think I've made that decision yet.
Okay.
And honestly, I don't know if it's a good idea for me to say either way on the radio. Everybody to make their own decisions,
yeah.
Vote for the person. You know, not that I would be an undue influence on anybody, that anybody really cares, but I think I lean right now towards Romney because Newt Gingrich, I think, has, I mean, if you're asking me, I think he has some emotional issues. I think he's got, you know, he's got a 5-year-old kid in him that's still alive and well. And he's very bright, really is, the sharpest guy up there. He's very, very, in my opinion, he's very, very sharp, got a great memory, great historical perspective on politics. You know, he's got a lot of really, he's very smart.
He speaks very, very well. He does.
he puts together, he can think on his feet, and he can put together ideas, and, you know, I mean, I'm impressed with his mind. And he probably would do a good job as president. But he's also very ingrained in the political world, and it would really, really be refreshing. And I know this smells like Jimmy Carter stuff, but it would be refreshing to get somebody in there that, you know, isn't a peanut farmer, but somebody who is also not just entrenched in the whole, you know, business of Washington. And a lot of people want somebody that is entrenched in there so they can, you know, they feel comfortable that the guy knows the system and what's going on. We'll see. You know,
one,
I don't
one
know.
Thing is he's extremely confident and vocal about his confidence that he believes he can do the job and do it well. And
mm-hmm. And I like that. That's what I'm saying. I'm not 100% sure who I'm going for. The thing about Romney that I prefer is there's a common sense side to Romney that I like, and I do know that he understands what waste looks like. And, you know, that is one of our big issues that we're doing here is that, you know, we have an administration that just wants to continue spending, even when the problem is spending. They're going to solve it with more spending. That's their thing. Go ahead, Dwayne. You were going to say something?
No, not really. The comment that he made over the weekend, which is a gaffe, or they, you know, they said, well, that's not what he really meant. He, you know, the comment he made about the poor, about he's really not concerned about the extremely poor, and he said that because he feels that there are programs in place to take care of them. What he was trying to say is that he wants to, you know, focus more on the middle class. I mean, that was the explanation behind what he said, but it's not what he said. And so where a lot of people are concerned now is that when it's time for him to go, if it comes to him going head-to-head with the president in debates, that President Obama, although he doesn't speak well, that well off the cuff, unscripted. He is very good with the teleprompter, and so how well Romney will stand up to him, you know, in a one-on-one debate, I think the president might be able to take the upper hand with him, whereas I don't think he could do that with Newt Gingrich. I think Newt would walk all over him in a one-on-one
yeah.
debate.
No, that's probably, if you had to take the better debater, I'd probably, if I was going to be in a debate, and I don't think Romney's bad at it, I think Romney can think on his feet as well, but Newt Gingrich has a special sparkle. He has a kind of a brilliance in terms of his understanding of politics, his ability to bring up issues from the past and plug them into right now. I mean, he's deeply political, and he has a very good grasp and a working understanding that he can verbalize very well. And so, you know, yeah, you know, the guy has that. There's no question about it. So I'm not sure. And everybody has to make their own decision and all that. Apparently, there's not going to be, I mean, as far as I understand, there's not going to be anybody on the Democratic side running against the president, right? There's not going to be some new guy challenging the president on the Democratic side.
No,
or
I don't.
Do we know that?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, the president is the guy.
According to someone in the audience the other day, they said that's the deal. You don't. No one opposes the sitting president from their party.
Okay.
That's so.
Well, so there you are. So it's one or the other. We've got Newt or Mitt. We'll see how that plays out. Okay, so basically for the S&P, you know, again, the fact that we've completed 44 is very important, at least in our work, because you can see that. You know, we have a saying that important prices occur at important turns, and so we've done the important price portion of it 1 month early in February, and that's important. That means that we're one of the tumblers has turned, and we're very much closer now to the possibility of this turn not being imminent yet, but at least that portion of it, the price portion, has been completed. So let's see, what else can I tell you? I think that's basically it right now. It's everything we've been talking about. The longer-term trend continues. Be careful on shorting this market. If you are shorting it, it's an intraday thing. There will be some good declines, but the bigger decline that we're talking about, we want to let the market do its run up into the cycle. which I think is much more important than trying to get on early, which many people do, and they regret it later. I just prefer not even thinking about doing that because it's gotten me in trouble in my trading over the years. I don't do that anymore, but in the past it's gotten me into trouble. And some of that trouble is trouble with a capital T, where, you know, you just throw some on, well, it'll be fine. If we go a little higher, I'll sell it at the next turn, or I'll do this. That kind of trading, that kind of wildcatting, does not pay off over time. And I think anybody that does that kind of trading would agree with me. It can work out, but I think in the end, or in the midterm, not even the long run, it shows up as being a very dangerous way of trading. I'm not looking for danger. I'm not looking for trouble. I'm looking to enjoy the markets. I'm looking to enjoy myself and make money in the market. I'm not trying to satisfy anymore or solve problems other in areas in my life through the markets. I'm looking at the markets purely as a thing that if I understand it correctly, I can make some money from it. And I respect the fact that it has a nature, and I also respect the fact that I have a nature, and the two don't always run together. And if you just relax and let yourself, you know, not be in, you know, hypnotized by the snake of money and the, you know, all the things that the market, you know, tempts you with, and wait for the easy and obvious for you, whatever that is, you're going to do a whole lot better than wildcatting with the market. A lot of people are in the markets for various reasons that they're not even necessarily aware of. I mean, we all know that we have motivations pushing and pulling us that we may not be really clear about. And I can tell you that a lot of your motivations, me speaking about myself included, I'm not speaking down to anybody, the probably 80 to 90% of whatever motivates you during the day is based on fear. Now you think about that and you tell me, I mean, I'm not looking to make myself right here. This is an observation of myself, and I believe it's true of others as well. You may say to yourself, oh, I'm doing this out of love, or I'm doing this out of care, or I'm doing this out of any number of things. And I'm going to tell you that 80 to 90% of the things you're going to do today and you're going to do tomorrow and that you've done in the past are based on fear. The fear of not looking good to yourself, the fear of not looking good in front of others, the fear of being in an uncomfortable situation, so instead of saying no, you say yes, and then you, after say yes, you say, see, I'm a nice guy, I'm doing something biblical, I'm whatever. But it really, the actual act itself that you did, said, or wanted to do and wanted to say, really came out of fear and not out of the thing that you say after the fact. After the fact, you want to make it nice and pretty for yourself because you weren't up to the task of doing the opposite of what you feel like. And at the moment, what you feel like doing is doing what fear tells you to do. And you play with that idea and see if that isn't the case. Now, having said that it's the case for myself, I mean, I've seen it myself 1,000 different times, that fear is what motivates this. The trick and the job for you isn't to go now and try to act like it isn't fear. The fact is simply to see it. Because simply seeing something will help you change it. It changes by itself. It's not that you step in and change it. The fact of seeing something really directly will make something change. But who wants to live that kind of life? And I don't want to live that kind of life in the market either. I don't want to be doing everything out of fear. And so I want to be doing it out of something more direct than fear, because fear is something that you accumulate over time. It's an idea that you have about yourself. It's an idea about the world, et cetera, et cetera. I want to be in the markets, happy to be here, understanding that I may lose, understanding that I may go through a number of trades in a given month that didn't work out for me. But I'm not putting those trades on out of some fear, fear that I won't make my house payment or fear that I need to make money or any of that stuff. And Dwayne has said this, and I'm going to say this again. I've said this a few times in the last 6 years. You don't want to be trading with the idea or trading with your last dollar. Let's just put it that way. We won't, as an example, we don't take people to these seminars that are, you know, down to their last penny. We try not to anyway, because it's not a good idea. You really want to be trading with money that you can afford to learn with, and that sometimes means that you're going to lose something, and then you have an opportunity to still be in and do it right and learn how to do it and make your points back or make your money back. But, you know, doing anything, whether it's the markets or even how you talk with other people, if it's based on fear, and I'm telling you, much of it is. You know, somebody says something and it's really not that funny and you laugh anyway, why are you laughing? The reason you're laughing is because you're afraid not to laugh. That's why. You're afraid that the person will feel offended, and you're not really thinking about the other person, you're thinking about yourself. You're worried that if they feel offended, how, you know, you're going to feel embarrassed because they're offended, and, you know, on and on and on. If you think these things through, it's very easy to see. A lot of fear is in your motivations. You may say you're doing good things for people. Maybe you're afraid not to. Maybe you're afraid of your own self-judgment, that if you don't do that nice thing for that person, your own self-judgment, well, then you're doing that out of fear. And if you go, and I'm not going to, this isn't a religious discussion, but if you go in the Bible, Jesus addresses this subject. He addresses the subject of motivation for your good. Why are you doing this? What is the motivation of what you're doing? And if it's done out of fear, I'm not putting a moral judgment on you. How's that working for you? It's not a good feeling to run your life out of fear, to be doing good things for other people, what you call good, simply because you're afraid, as an example, not to do it because of your own self-judgment, because of what you're going to have to listen to the old voices in your own head now. And so you can see, if you think this through, that's why I still say, and I've said this since day one, it's a good idea to get to know yourself. It's a good idea to take some time, sit down, take 10 minutes out of your day, because I can assure you that you don't know yourself. Now, I'm not accusing you of that. I'm just saying the likelihood is you don't know yourself. And it takes time to allow yourself to get to know yourself. Not the self that you think about, not the thoughts all day long thinking about yourself. I mean directly knowing yourself, seeing and being honest with yourself about what your motivations are when you're nice to that person, when you smile at that person, or when you're mean to that person because you don't know how to handle a situation without getting angry. And that anger, you play up because it's fear. You don't know also how to handle it. So you go to the angry route. That's what I'm saying. A lot of everything we do has a lot of fear in it. And I'm thinking it's 80 to 90% of how we respond in life is based on fear of something rather than all the little beams of sunlight we think we are. And we really are much better than we know. But you got to get through this whole thing about fear, because fear is running your life. And if you shouldn't be running your trading either. You shouldn't be trading out of fear. So, do I want to come and get into the market and lose money? No. Am I afraid of losing money? Not really. The thing that I want to do is, if I know what I'm looking for in the market, then yeah, I mean, I don't want to lose money, but I'm not coming in here frightened to lose money, and I'm certainly not sitting down in front of the market acting as best as I can. I mean, I'm not perfect at this, but I'm trying to see the stuff I understand and I'm comfortable with and then trade it. And that's what I do. And if I have to take a loss on it, so be it. But see that, check that out for yourself, if this whole business that we're talking about it applies to you. That would be a good way of doing it. Does it apply to you? Are you acting out of fear, or are you acting from something real? Because fear isn't real. It's based on conditioning, and it drives you crazy over time. And so this isn't a put down. I'm right in the same boat with everybody else. And the only thing is that you can live your whole life and never question this and never get through this stuff, and it feels really good to get over some of it and to not feel like you have to do this and do that. You can act much more real with people, much more directly, when you act directly and real with yourself. And that means getting through fear. That's the whole business of it right there, since that is such a driving force in our life. So anyway, I think everything I had to say about that and the S&P is enough for the S&P right now anyway. We'll move on to another market. Today, we're still banging into that 44. Again, the month is more important than today. If we close above 44, I'm not overly concerned about that, but it's the month that really matters for this 44. So let's move on. And Dwayne, do you have any question or comment about the S&P that you want to throw in before we move on?
No, we've just been stuck here for 2 days. Inside of these weekly trading zones, made a trip up,
yeah,
made a trip down, made a trip back up, and although it looks like we're trying to break out to the upside, the high of the week so far is 44.50. So until we do something above and beyond that, and then I'd be interested in maybe trading it to the long side on a pullback. We have, you know, another zone overhead, a nice distance away. So I want to see it break free of this gravitational pull that the zone has and get free up here, and then then we'll
where would you
that.
See it? Where are you seeing it? I mean, you tell me if I'm asking something you don't want to reveal over the radio. Where do you see it above? Where's a level above us for you?
Above here, the weekly zone above that is 54.55.
Okay. Okay, so some distance.
Yeah, I mean, there's enough to put on a good trade and a good move. The thing is I need to see it get far enough away from here, and then I want to get in on a pullback and then take that trip. So, like here, that opportunity, now on smaller time frames, the opportunity did avail itself, and it availed itself really quite nicely. Like right here, you can see we were dealing with the same issue. It pulled back into the zone at 33.34. We got everything we looked for, the bullish cross. We got the pullback, and boom, it went straight to the zone. On the hourly chart, all you can see is just that 1 hour where it went straight up. So like you talk about with multiple time frames, and that's, again, the same reason we talk about them, is because you can actually see the move that is happening. So now I need to see that same kind of scenario happen to get me interested in trading up to here. Otherwise, you know, I'm not, until we can at least get probably above 46, I'm not convinced that we aren't going to just flop over and go back to 34. There's no news driving the markets. Bernanke spoke this morning, and I think I wasn't able to listen to it, but from what I can understand, he just kind of said all the same stuff he said the other day again, reiterated it, and we had no major. Well, we did have one major news report out today. Let me see really quick what we've got coming out tomorrow. If we have anything that will really drive the news tomorrow, Wednesday, February the 8th, we've got housing starts. Nope. We've got crude oil, which is medium impact. And we have no high impact news events tomorrow. So, again, tomorrow, nothing to really drive the market.
Okay, well, good. Let's take a quick look at gold. This market is continuing to react off of its monthly bottom. We've been through that many times. I don't honestly remember if we talked about the February 7th date, but you can see the February 6th date is in the S&P. There's a lot of markets that are working with that date. Gold is one such market, and anybody with reflected wave knows about the February 7th bottom. They did bottom today in gold, and they've had a very nice advance off that low. So we're still underway with that. Gold's in a very much in an uptrend here, testing some of its critical, already having tested some of its critical levels a few days back. And so this was just a short-term decline with a very powerful reversal off today. This is the on-time day for a bottom in gold.
What month are we in on gold?
Well, you know what? We're in February gold, but we need to bump out from that, obviously, and I'm going to update my charts tonight for that. So we'll do that. Sorry, yeah, this is, yeah, those prices are from February. Thanks for bringing that up. We'll have to deal with that tonight. And let's see, we are also, we have the T-bond market, which yesterday we talked about with the T-bonds getting above, closing above 142.30, put them in a stronger position for a further advance. The date that they would be advancing to would be into February 8th. Today they broke back below that critical level, which would indicate which they should not be able to break back below. This is the 142.30 we're talking about, and that would indicate, as we talked about, a decline to 142.05, the test of the previous low. Now, they did that already, and so they're heading lower here. This ties together. This is part of the larger time frame top that the market is putting in. When the market was putting in the top back on January 31st, which was an important date in a number of markets, we mentioned this decline should be sizable off this because of the larger top that's being put in. And we've seen a pretty decent decline now in the T-bond market. That was tricky, what they did yesterday, getting above the 142.30 and then back below it today with hourly and certainly daily close today below that. And that opens the market up for further decline down to 141.10. We're at 141.31 now, and so we'll see lower prices coming here in just a little while, you know, over the next several days in the T-bond market. In the euro, you can see also that February 6th, we have talked about this yesterday, that the original bottom for the euro was on February 1st. This was reflected wave, and that yesterday I mentioned that we teach this in the seminar. Anytime they test a reflected wave bottom, that is equally as important as the bottom, and it normally will result in a fast reversal. And here we are today, the very next day, with this fast reversal. The market advanced very powerfully today. This is something that's in a lot of our reflected wave charts at the seminar, showing this type of setup over and over and over again, where the market will test the reflected wave bottom and then have a very powerful reversal off of that. And this is particularly a principle of reflected wave. So, you know, for those of you that are coming to the seminar, you'll see this, but it can be very useful if any other indication is present for higher prices, whether that, in our case, would be either a roadmap or something. But in this particular case, I did mention yesterday that normally we'd get a good advance off of this bottom because it did, in fact, test a previous reflected wave bottom. And that's always, almost, in almost every case, that's a very important reversal point. So, this market is bullish still. We don't have any other indication other than that from recently here, but we'll continue to watch that market if we can take a trade off of it. We didn't actually issue a trade yesterday with that. Silver's also up today substantially off of their February 6th bottom. So you can see a lot of the dates, February 6th and February 7th. That's why we do that. We talked about a week or two back about crude oil, and that February 3rd was going to be an important date. It looks like February 3rd came in as a bottom on the 2nd, and the market has been advancing. They had a pullback. They also made a little minor top on the 3rd, pulled back for 2 days. Today is that second day, and they broke out to new highs. Now, today in crude, if we close above 98.44, this will be a stronger position for crude short-term. And, you know, the crude oil market, this is where, you know, they manufacture and produce crude oil. And from crude oil, we manufacture and produce gasoline. So, you know, it's very interesting what this market is doing and what the forecasts for this market are. I don't know if you know this, but there's a lot of people forecasting. These are not market forecasters in the sense of what we're doing, but they're forecasters for the economy and for larger, bigger picture things. They're talking about the crude market going up into the summertime, and that gasoline gets back above $4 or very close to $4 a gallon. And $4 a gallon is the price at which consumers say, I've had enough. This is sort of a general consensus. This is not my opinion. And that, again, seems like, well, if this market runs up there, you know, there's people that say it's all manipulated, it's all controlled. That's a bunch of nonsense. The crude oil market was down at $10 and $15 for decades. Okay? Those same people were just not in the mood to manipulate it for decades. They just didn't feel like running it up to $80 or $140. It's a bunch of nonsense. It's up here for many, many reasons. And it's up here for real reasons and imagined. But it's up here for real reasons in the sense that this is not just manipulation. It doesn't work that way. But the fact is that if the market does get high enough and does push gasoline high, the prices of gasoline are now, like for premium unleaded out here, it's like $3.70 or something. And, you know, that's not bad considering that the market is, you know, up at, what, $98 a barrel. That's not too bad. A lot of people were saying that, you know, this is all done purposely and whatever. That's not the case. There's forces at work that make this happen. But here's the interesting thing. If it does get up there, that just drives people more towards hybrid and electric vehicles. And the more people do that, especially the pure electric vehicles, those people won't need any gasoline, will they? They're not going to need any. So, like I've said before on the program, I'm still waiting Because back in my old days, you know, the guy with the 30-mile-an-hour carburetor or 30-mile-per-gallon carburetor, they paid him millions of dollars, the oil companies did, supposedly, to shut him up
so they could keep selling this oil. They killed the poor guy.
They killed the guy. And then now here's a situation where the electric car industry is coming. This isn't a car that can get 50 miles per gallon. It doesn't even use their product. It doesn't even use gas at all. So certainly if the conspiracy guys are going to be real, then the oil companies are going to be consistent here, and they need to kill or black helicopter or pay off with all their big money all the people working on battery technology and all the car companies working on electric.
So that they can steal it away from us
so that we have to use gasoline, because that's the conspiracy theory.
Once it becomes a real threat, a credible threat, then they will.
You don't think it's a credible threat now? I got you.
You're just playing with me. Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. This is where the conspiracy theorists fail, because here we are. The coup de grace, I mean, it's right here in front of us. We won't even need their product. It's not that our cars will need less of it. We won't need any of it at some point. So I'm waiting for the oil companies to do their big thing that the conspiracy people say, the big money, the big boys. They're going to come in, they're going to buy it out, they're going to stop it, they're going to make us all buy gasoline. I'm waiting. Because you've got the entire world working on battery technology, and you've got every car company, already there's 15 different electrics and hybrids already out there. Next year and the year after that, there's going to be another 15 more on the market. Your friends and everyone else is going to be driving one, you'll be driving one. And at some point, the battery technology, pretty soon, within the next 5 to 7 years, is going to get so good you won't need gasoline at all for your daily commute. You know, I mean, it's going to be 100-mile stuff all over the place where you really can get the 100 miles in your car. What are they going to do? I'm waiting to see. I'm waiting to see the conspiracy take place right in front of my eyes, like everyone's been telling me, because this is it. We're at ground zero now. We don't need their product, or we won't need it pretty soon. So if gas prices go up and continue to go over $4 a gallon, that's going to force people to reconsider whether or not they want to get into a hybrid, switch out of their car, or a pure electric. And, you know, it's the end game is already in play. The writing really is already on the wall. So it should be really interesting to see how that plays out. Don't believe every conspiracy you hear. In fact, I would say don't believe about 98.7% of them, because they're a bunch of nonsense. It's people that really don't know much, reading a lot on the internet. And by the way, the internet is owned by who? Mostly the government. The very people that you're saying is conspiring. The very people that, you know, couldn't they put sites up that would make you believe one way, and, you know, all that stuff? And it just goes on and on and on. So, yes, people want to. Yes, the oil companies want to sell us gasoline. That's a fact. They do want us to stay on gasoline. If they had their way, they'd love to see all of us continue to buy their product. But those days are now numbered. So let's see what they do. Let's see if they steal it away from us and make us all continue to buy gasoline. I'm placing a bet that that ain't going to happen, and that you're going to see more and more hybrids and electrics until finally there's nothing but that. And yeah, the internal combustion engine is going to be around for another 25 to 50 years, no doubt about it. There's no doubt that it'll be, but in dramatically lesser and lesser amounts. And then the other thing is once you guys drive an electric car, you're not going to want to go back to piston engines, because they're noisy, smelly. There's about, let's see, 150 parts that move in a piston engine, something like that. Some, a lot of parts are spinning around and moving there. How many parts are in an electric motor, Dwayne?
You asking the wrong guy.
Okay, well, let me be the right guy. One. That's a nice reduction, isn't it? Let's see, we go from 10% efficiency on a gas engine up to almost 90 on an electric. We go from hundreds of moving parts to one. I like that. That's pretty good. You guys are going to love it. I know. I go on too much about that silly electric thing, but it really is great. Even the sports car companies will be doing it and are doing it. Okay, so we're back to, we were talking about crude. It'd be interesting to see how the summertime with crude goes. There is something with crude where they, in the summertime, there's a different blend, and it actually costs the oil companies more money to operate with that blend, so prices go up anyway. And then on top of that, if the crude market is really rallying, you know, we're going to see prices go up. And then let's finalize with the soybean market here, which we talked about last couple of days. Soybeans, and you know, I'm talking now about, I think Cliff had mentioned this morning that, was that Cliff? I think it was, mentioned that we're in May, soybeans. So
let's have a look.
I think you had said that we'll continue, or was it Michael? I think we're continuing to trade this until the second Thursday or something of, well, this is...
It sounds like a Bert thing.
Yeah, if he's around. But either way, soybeans is at a critical point because we mentioned that it was going to make a top on February 7th, plus or minus a day, that the actual reflected wave top was, here's that date again, February 6th. And so we are expecting a multi-day downside reaction off of this top. So you might want to check out soybeans. Look at your stuff. If you're using Michael's and Dwayne's material, put the trade together on that. If you're using reflected wave, sell reflected wave pullbacks for a decline. For people that are on Messenger Pro, we're going to message out the full roadmap for this, but it's definitely tradable, and we're going to probably wait into tomorrow before we take our put a position on and take this trade. So tomorrow should be important for soybean market, and we will be doing it in the May market, in the May beans. Because if it's the Cliff I know about, he knows about this stuff. So it's it'll be May. So I think that's, Dwayne, I think that's it. That's the whole darn shooting match right there. Yesterday we shut down a little bit early because the market had gotten so quiet that the last 45 minutes or hour we just decided, you know, it's not worth making people sit around and watch this. And that may be the case today because we certainly are trading very, very quietly here. And it's just not a lot of fun. Now is it?
6E sure got rowdy today. Popped up nicely.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it certainly did.
We had an order to sell it short last night down at 130.85 if it were to reverse, but it never did. It just kept climbing higher, so we never got into that. And then back to the ES, we're just sitting here at the same level, just waiting. You know,
yeah.
It's moving just enough that you could get long, and then it come back and stop you out, and then you could get short, and then it could pop up. And, you know, just like just wait, guys. Let it break free. Let it do something. You know.
Yeah, no doubt. Anyway, so the S&P, you know, we're watching. Really, just nothing happened here. So you know, that's just the nature of the market. Sometimes it gets really quiet, and you just gotta stay with it until it starts moving again. Dwayne, I think that's everything we have for today. I don't think there's anything else we can add to that unless you have something you'd like to throw in as well.
No, I'm good, man. I am good.
Okay.
Layla, if you're still there, again, thank you. Come back, visit us again sometime. We'd love to have you. And for the rest of you guys out there who are mic shy, if you got something you want to share, you want to just come hang out, talk to us, you have questions, you're tired of typing, you want to talk, then type in.
You're tired of hearing us.
Yeah, if you're tired of hearing us, just type in and say, hey, I'd like to say something, and we'll unmute your mic. If you don't have a
headset, one of the things that I want to encourage people, and this, Dwayne, if I think this is worth saying, is that I really honestly believe that everybody that's listening to this program actually does have something worthwhile to say. You may not feel so, and you may not be a person that is willing to take the shot that, you know, it appeared, you know, that Layla did, just getting on and talking very relaxed with us. But everybody who's been around the markets has a unique perspective, a unique way of looking at it, or even if they have an ordinary way of looking at it, you may bring something that is helpful to somebody else. And one of the things about the radio program in its entirety is that it's nice to have a community of people where you're talking about subjects, and I think the more input, in many cases, the better. There can be some really good little things that come up, little nuggets that come up from somebody making a comment. So if you have the desire to do so, and if it doesn't freak you out too much to be on the radio, a little scary. I remember when I first came on the radio, it's a little, you know, nerve-wracking, thinking, okay, you have this picture in your mind, all these people are listening to you, and you might say something wrong, and all that stuff, and there's that life again. You know, there's that life full of fear. Why don't you do it anyway? Why don't you just come on? Just don't even worry about that fear. Or if you worry about it, don't even worry that you worry about it. How's that? It's a multi-level thing. Don't worry that you worry. Just come on and enjoy it. Because nobody's going to be mad at you, and you can say anything you want, within reason, of course.
In regards to fear being a multi-level thing, most of us, over the course of our life, have built a very unhealthy downline.
Yes, exactly. Well said. It's a multi-level marketing thing.
Thank you so much, my friend.
All right, Dwayne, I'll see you guys tomorrow. Thank you, Layla, for coming on today. That was a lot of fun, if you're still there. And see you all tomorrow.
All right, we're going to send you out with a little bit of Eric Clapton.
Okay.
My call to get it up and get out of here. Been in this chair for a while today. Gotta stretch my legs. Alright, this chart in front of you spells it out. Support below us, 33.34. We are at resistance, 42.43. Chances are before this week is out, possibly even this day is out, we will break free and get a move on to 54.55, or we'll get a move on to the zone below us. If you'd like to know what that zone is, come take the free trial, cfrn.net/trial. No credit card required. Don't need your mother's maiden name. Don't need a social security number. Now, when you take that free trial, here's what you're going to get. You're going to get a lot. You're going to get 10 hours in live markets with us. Us being all the partners, Michael, myself, Bert. Any question that you have about trading, charts, candles, indicators, what is a futures market, we'll answer those questions for you. During the course of the week of your free trial, you have unlimited access via telephone and email to myself, Michael, Bert, and Leslie. Okay? We're not those grumpy room moderators that don't like to be called out when we get it wrong. In fact, when we get it wrong, we're the first one to bring it up. Yeah, well, that didn't work out. So we're pretty transparent, translucent, in fact. we have nothing to hide. Whatever we do in the open. We share it with you openly. Now, along with being in the room for 10 hours over the course of a week, the first 2 hours that the market is open each and every day, you will also have access to the DT Pro platform. In fact, if you go to cfrn.net/apply, as soon as I finish this radio broadcast today, you'll sign up, you'll get a confirmation email, which you have to go find. It might be in your inbox, it might be in your bulk box, it might be in your spam folder, just find it. You have to click the confirmation link, because we don't believe in spamming, we do a double opt-in process. A little bit aggravating, but it's done for your protection as well as ours. As soon as you click the opt-in link, I'll then fire you out an email that has the link for the training room, the password for the training room. I will also send you a link to a page that has everything you need to download your free trial of the DT Pro trading platform. This is the platform that you see right in front of me here. Whatever futures market you have an interest in trading, E-minis, S&P, Russell, Dow, currencies, Euro 6E, the British Pound, the 6B, maybe you want to trade some grains, some wheat, some corn, some beans. Maybe you got a thing for lumber. You want to trade lumber. Okay, we have that data feed. Metals? Gold, silver, copper, palladium? Mm-hmm. Softs, things like cotton? Yep. You can trade it from this platform, the DT Pro platform. Now, not only do you get full charting capability with live data, not delayed, but live data, you also get what's called a simulator, or DOM. This is a live DOM here, not a simulator, but they are identical. Only when you trade with this one, it's real money. When you trade with the simulator, it's not. It gives you the opportunity to not only follow along with us as we're trading the market, but as opportunities present themselves and we say, it looks good to buy 1336 on a pullback limit order. Then you would go right over to your, that's the YM. Well, I'll just show you on the YM. Here we go. One of the partners this morning texted in that, or typed in that he had taken this very trade right here. Okay, it was a pullback to 12,765. So, in the trading room, when you hear us go, hey, we like buying, or we're going to buy, 12,765 on a pullback, using your simulator, which will look exactly like this, you go find 12,765. I always use market if touched, because I want to be guaranteed a fill. That usually will cost you one tick of slip, and I'm okay with that. It's better than not getting filled. So, again, this pullback entry here was 12,765. So I would simply go 12,765. Left click, MIT. It's asking me, do I want to buy one contract at 12,765, which I do. Do I want to target 20 points out at 785? I do. And do I want to limit my risk to 12,745? Well, the answer to all of those is yes. So I click yes. Now, once I click yes, this is my order to get filled. You see right here where it says one contract? Yeah, you change that with the quantity. I can tell it 1, 2, 3, 5, 10, 100, whatever my account and my psychology is capable of handling. Now, price trades down. Touches, remember it's market if touched, price touches 765 right here, I will be automatically filled. The second that I'm filled, I have a target order that is automatically placed at 785, and I have a stop loss that is automatically placed at 745. The way I handle a YM order is as soon as the trade starts to move in my favor, I come over here and I drag my stop up to from 45 up to 55 so that I'm only risking 10 points on that trade with a target of 20. And then as I did on my trade this morning, what I will do is as the trade really starts to go in my favor, I will bring my stop to one tick above my entry, right there, so that I have a free trade. Now I'm going to just cancel all of those orders because none of those are orders that I want to place at the moment. Now, the order that I personally traded this morning was this pullback right here. 12,750 There was a couple points drawdown, and then it dropped down here, and I got out with 18 points. Okay, there was 20 in it, but I got 18 of them. That's where you saw the 18. That was here. Okay. Now, on the trade I just showed you, this pullback here, okay, now this ran from 12,765 all the way up to the next zone at 830. So that's roughly about 60 points. That's a very nice move. 60 points, what's that worth? Well, on the YM, if you're only trading one contract, it's worth $300. If you're trading 10 contracts, then it's worth $3,000. Some people have difficulty staying in a move from zone to zone. Present company not excluded. Because this was such a brisk move, once it got back above the MA1, there was never really any threat to the trade until this little candle right here. You might have started to have some second thoughts. But if you hung in there, then you actually made it to the zone. Now look what's happened once we hit the zone. We hit it, come back to the BBC. See how we just get into this little choppy trade at the zone? Typically, that's what you're going to see at the zone. You're going to see, you'll either see rejection or you'll see consolidation. Occasionally, you'll see price just slice through a zone, but this is very typical of the type of action that you'll see. And you can see that the market is having difficulty getting through this zone. It's made one, two, three good attempts so far. Maybe it needs to pull back a little deeper and then make its run, or maybe it's done. And we're going to come back to visit this zone. So when you take the free trial, not only do you get 10 hours with us in the live trading room, live markets, trading real money, you have unlimited email and telephone access to myself, Michael, Bert, and Leslie. You have the charting platform with live data feed for every futures market out there and Forex. Although we don't trade the currency pairs here on the show or in the live trading room, you can trade it with DT Pro, and you can access it with the simulator, and you can put on and take off trades in the Forex market if that's what you have an interest in. Bert at 866-928-3310 can answer all of your questions about the platform itself. Let me give you the number again slowly. 866-928-3310. You can talk to Bert or Leslie. Nobody there will try to hard sell you on anything during your 1 week's free trial. They simply want to answer all of your questions and make sure you understand how to set up your charts, how to get your data flowing. Everything that you need, they're right there for you every step of the way. Last but not least, you get to test drive for an entire week the CFRN indicator set. Okay? All the tools that you see Michael and I using, the MA1, the BBC, the weekly trading zones, the DMT, the cycle indicator, okay, all of these tools are at your disposal during your 1 week's free trial. So, that's a lot. In fact, it's so much, it's often difficult for someone to absorb all of it in a week's time and arrive at a, unless you already understand charts and already understand trading, and you've just been struggling and you're just looking for something to give you that little bit of an edge to get you into consistent profitability, it's possible you could need more than 1 week. Okay, and we deal with that on a case-by-case basis. I know that some of you took a free trial in the past, and what I said was true for you. You just didn't quite get it all, and so you weren't sure if that was the direction you should go in. If you fall into that category, send an email, because if you go and try to take another free trial, it's going to kick you out and say, sorry, you already had your free trial. Send me an email, secondchance@cfrn.net. Spell it out, secondchance@cfrn.net. Let me know what happened, why you weren't able to take advantage of the free trial, or just say, you know what, I was so overwhelmed, I wasn't sure. Because that puts you into a special category. That puts you into a category where you might want to go into a one-on-one personalized webinar or a go-to meeting with Bert, possibly even myself and or Michael, where we can make sure that you do have your charts up and running properly, that you understand how to save them at the end of the day, that you understand how to apply the indicators in different time frames on different markets. The last thing in the world we want you to do is to walk away from your free trial with any confusion. We want everything to be perfectly clear so that you can make a well-informed decision. This is not for me, or this is exactly what I've been looking for. Okay? CFRN.net/apply. If you've already taken your free trial and you're ready to become a partner, you're just waiting on the paperwork, you want to be in the partners meeting Thursday night, that would be, today's Tuesday, so you still got 2 days. Michael will be sending you an email detailing the partner program. Okay. If you've not received that email, or if you're ready to get on with the business of becoming a partner, send an email right now to support@cfrn.net, and I'll make sure someone gets back with you within the next 30 minutes to answer all of your questions. Other than that, thank you so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a 1 week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.
Hey you, trader, why the sad face? Bad day in the markets? Bad year in the markets? If you're like many other traders I've met recently, you're about to give up, go broke, or both. They say the definition of insanity is when people continue doing the same thing and expect different results. Sound like you? You've invested a lot of time and money in this trading business, right? Well, before you give up or go broke, let's just take off the crazy hat for a moment, okay? Forget the schemes and scams that litter the internet. That 80% win ratio in his dreams and your nightmares. The 89 consecutive winning trades guy. Liar, liar, pants on fire. It really comes down to what actually works. At the end of the day, who can you really trust on your way to Wall Street? Here's a thought. What if you could spend day after day with seasoned traders and market analysts? What if you could cut through the theory and simply see real-time trades and strategies that work? debunk the myths, and learn the ropes. Cut the risks by avoiding simple mistakes. How much do you think that would be worth in the long run? If you could literally shave years off the learning curve and keep tens of thousands of dollars in your account for the actual purpose of trading, would that be of great value to you? Would that be the definition of doing something different? Right now, CFRN has a limited time offer. I want to invite you to spend a full week with the CFRN team. I want you to test drive our online platform and feel the power of our custom indicators for an entire week. I want you to witness real trades with real money in real time. I want you to see a humble, ethical, and proven trading system that's simple and, more importantly, that works. You can pass this off as just another sales pitch. You can risk tens of thousands of dollars and several years of your life in an attempt to prove me wrong. Or you can come hang out with us for just 1 week. No strings attached, no credit card required. All we require is a simple desire to learn. Stop the insanity today. Test drive our platform and indicators for 1 full week. Trade with us live for 1 full week. No strings attached, no credit card required. If I'm wrong, there'll be plenty of time to give up or go broke next week. So act today. This is a limited time, sensitive offer. To get started, visit www.cfrn.net. That's www.cfrn.net. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.